Welcome to the Torah Timacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanaleah Rappaport, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Beis, Chapter 22. We ended the last perek with David being victorious in his wars, in his many wars. And this perek begins as a song of praise. It's actually different than any other perek in Shmuel Beis. It is written much more like a perek of Tehillim, as we will see. It's unclear when this perek was written. According to Rashi, when he was old and had been saved from all of his enemies, or the Mitzuta says when he wasn't allowed to go to war anymore, as we saw in the last perek, when he almost died in a war, his people told him, "No, no, David, you're going to stay home. We don't want you to go out to war anymore, because if you die, it's all over." Or perhaps, according to the Abarbanel, who gives a beautiful explanation, he says that he actually wrote this in his youth, when he was still deeply enmeshed in his many problems. He created this perek, this song, to be all-inclusive, which could relate to his every challenge. And throughout his life, whenever he was going through something difficult, or he had a personal salvation from that difficulty, he read the Shira. At the end of his life, he includes this Shira, this perek, and Sefer Tehillim as Mizmor Yurches. So many of the psukim are going to be familiar to you. It's the 18th chapter in Tehillim. There are many, many, many changes between the two, differences between the two prokim. The Abarbanel lists over 70 of them, which we're not going to go into at all, except for one at the end. But the themes that are found in this perek are the same. According to the Yalkut Shimoni, this is one of the 10 songs that we count in history. We know there were 10 songs that we have in Tanakh that are counted as the 10. There are different ways of counting them. According to the Yalkut Shimoni, this is one of them. Other ones include, there is the Shiras HaBe'er, there was of course the Shiras Hayam, there was Shiras Chana, the song that Chana sang at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, Shiras Devorah from Shoftim. The last of the 10 is going to be Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, when we're going to sing to Hashem a Shir Chadash, Emirat Hashem, with the coming of Mashiach. This perek is the only indication we get in Sefer Shmuel about what we would consider the major accomplishment of David HaMelech's life, or one of the major accomplishments, the Sefer Tehillim that he wrote and that he gave to us. We touched on this for a minute in Perek Chof Aleph, but I have to say it again. It's amazing how David HaMelech experienced every single possible difficulty that could happen and was able to express it in beautiful words, and therefore he granted us this gift, the gift of Tehillim. When we say Tehillim, we feel like, or I feel anyways when I'm saying a perek of Tehillim, that whatever is going on in my life, I can find something that relates to it in whatever perek I happen to be reading at that time. There's going to be a pasuk that gives me a something for whatever it is that I'm dealing with, and it is so because David HaMelech was able to include, he understood, he had gone through everything. I heard a beautiful story. I would love to source it, but I don't remember who said it. Nathan Sharansky wrote in his book how he used to carry a tiny sefer of Tehillim with him everywhere he went. And the person who I heard the story from said that he met Nathan Sharansky and he said to him, "I just told my class how you carried the sefer Tehillim with you through Siberia and through jail." And he said, and as I'm telling this to Nathan Sharansky, he smiled and pulled out that same tattered book in his pocket. And the Rav said to him, "Do you carry that Tehillim with you wherever you go?" And he smiled and he said, "No, actually, it's the Tehillim that carries me." In our perek, we will get a taste of Tehillim. The perek here is spoken as a personal story of salvation. In Tehillim, it's a little bit more nationalized, meaning it's talking about not just his own personal, but as it pertains to Klal Yisrael. Because it's a very long perek, we will not go through it pasuk by pasuk, but we will try and touch on some of the themes. We'll start with the very first pasuk, pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayidaber David laHashem es divrei hashira hazois. And David said these words, the words to Hashem of this shira, as we said, this song. B'yom hitzil Hashem oisai mikaf kol oivav u'mikaf Sha'ol, on the day that Hashem saved him from all of his enemies and from the hand of Sha'ol. And of course we know that there wasn't a day like this, meaning this didn't happen all on one day. Hashem saved him from Sha'ol, and then there were everything we've been learning in this whole Sefer. There have been multiple difficulties for David. So when actually did he say this? And why is Sha'ol separated from the other enemies? Meaning, why isn't it from the day Hashem saved him from the hand of all of his enemies, including Sha'ol? And we have many different answers given. Firstly, David can't call Sha'ol an enemy. He fought him and tried to kill him, but he can't put him in the same category. It was different. Although Sha'ol was an enemy to David, he understood that this enmity is different, very different than all the other enemies that he had. According to the Al-Shukh, it was the hardest one. He was scared that Sha'ol would hurt him, but he was just as scared that he would hurt Sha'ol, the Mashiach Hashem. It was also different because it was a personal fight. It wasn't against the Jewish nation, as his later ones were. This was a fight directly against David. And though we could say that perhaps some of the other fights were also directly against David, like, for example, Avshalom, it was after David was already a king, and therefore it became a national fight. The Medrash says, Hayashakol alav keneged kol oivav. It was equal to him, like all of his enemies, meaning I had to fight two major things in my life, all of my enemies in one account and Sha'ol in the other. However, we see that David was taken to task for singing a song on the death of Sha'ol. The Medrash Tehillim says, you're singing a song that Hashem saved you from Sha'ol? He was greater than you. It's just that the errors that he made, Sha'ol, made it impossible for him to be a king. But you, David, have made errors too, and you shouldn't be singing a song. They found on the margins of the Chazan Ish's Gemara a pshat. Of course David was upset when Sha'ol died, but he thought that he had an obligation to say Shira for the peace that came his way. In Maseches Brachos it says that when a father dies and a son inherits, first he says Baruch Dayan HaEmes, of course, and he mourns, but there should be a piece of him that thanks Hashem, of course, not for the death, but for making his father a wealthy person and therefore making me a wealthy person. So saying that we have to show Hakara Sotoy for everything that comes our way, even, of course, when there's a terrible sadness. And that's what the Chazan Ish is saying. When David sings the Shira, he wasn't singing it flippantly. Oh, I'm so excited that Sha'ol died. We know that. If you've been with me since the beginning of Shmuel Beis, we see how David indeed mourned the death of Sha'ol and made sure that all of Klal Yisrael knew that he was not in the least bit happy about the downfall of Sha'ol's family. But he still felt that he has to sing a song of Shira. In Psukim Beis through Dalet, he talks about his relationship to Hashem. Vayomer, and he says in Pasuk Beis verse 2, Hashem sali tzudasi umefalti li. Hashem is my rock, my fortress, and my rescuer. Elokei tzuri, my God, my Hashem, my rock. Echesebai, I rely on him. A very profound word of reliance is echeselachasois. It means like Hashem is a presence. He is there. He is a rock. He is something that I can rely on. Even if he doesn't do anything practical, just the presence of him being there means that I feel calm and I feel protected. He continues by talking about his difficult times, all the difficult times, and how Hashem saved him from all his enemies. In Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Bitzarli ekra Hashem, ve'el elekai ekra, when it was so hard for me, in my tzara, in my pain, I called out to Hashem, ve'yishma mehechalai koli, b'shavasi ba'aznav, and he heard from his hechal, he heard my voice. This is the image that we see often David HaMelech portrays, that Hashem, although he may seem distant, he is so here, and he's listening to me. V'shavasi, my cry is in his ears. This description of Hashem saving him from all of his enemies goes through Pasuk Yates until verse 19, as he describes the many times that Hashem has rescued him. And then David explains why Hashem has helped him. In Pasuk Chaf Beis 22, Ki shamarti darchei Hashem, v'loi rashati me'elekai. I have kept Hashem's ways. I've done the right thing. I've protected my avodas Hashem because I wanted to, because it was, I wanted to do His will, not because I had to, because I wanted to. When somebody is shomer something, when somebody guard something, it means it's something that's dear to him. V'loi rashati me'elekai. Although David knows that he has made some mistakes, I have never willingly, I did no intentional evil before my God, even when it seemed like I wanted it or that I was drawn to it. I made sure never to do any evil, any intentional evil. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, in verse 31, he turns to praise Hashem for all that He has done for him. Hakel tamim darkoi. Hashem's ways are perfectly correct. Imras Hashem trufa. Hashem's word is unadulterated, without any elements of falsehood. He keeps every single one of His promises without fail. Magenhu. He is a reliable shield, therefore, l'chol hachoisim bo, for anyone who seek refuge in Him. And again, it's that same word. It's the machseh. It's the Hashem who is a protector for me. He is the one who I can rely on. And we can imagine David HaMelech saying these words over and over and over again when it doesn't seem like there is any justice or any salvation in his life, when everything seems to be so unfair, and wherever he turns, there's just another tzara and another tzara. To imagine, as the Abarbanel says, that he's holding this parak with him and saying to himself, Hakel tamim darkoi, even though I don't see it, even though I don't understand it, even though it seems like there is so much injustice in the world, I know that Hakel tamim darkoi and Imras Hashem tzufa, that Hashem keeps His word, and I am going to come out of this tzara as well. And then he turns to Hashem to thank Hashem, both as a warrior, meaning David HaMelech thanking Him as a warrior, saving him from his enemies, and as a king on a national level, in Psukim Lamed Vav through Nun, 36-50. He says, Erdefa oivai v'ashmideim, v'loi ashuv ad kaloisam. I pursued my enemies, I will chase my enemies and catch up to them. I caught up to them. And I never had to return, v'loi ashuv, I never had to come back home ad kalaysam, until I finished them off. I was never interrupted of my mission, by my mission of destroying my enemies. I am recording this share. It is still before Pesach, although by the time you are going to be listening to this, it is after Pesach. And these words have such profound meaning for us, going through what we are going through right now, and understanding the great gift of being able to finish off a job that was started and not being held back by other forces that are saying, don't finish a job. And Ritz Hashem, by the time you're listening to this, we should see the clarity and the Kel tamim darkoi. We should be able to see it, not just know it. Va'achaleim, ve'em chatzeim. I struck them and I destroyed them. V'lo yekumun, and they never will get up again. Ve'yiplu tachas raglai. They lay fallen at my feet. And again, we can imagine him saying these words when it wasn't at all clear that this would be the happy ending. And in conclusion, Psukim Nun to Nun Aleph, 50-51, Al Kain, Oitcha Hashem Bagoyim, Ulashimcha Azamer. Therefore, because of this great deliverance, I'm going to sing thanks to you, not just by me, Klal Yisrael, not just us, we have to know this, but I'm going to give thanks to you amongst the nations who are going to serve me, he says. They are nations who serve me now because of your, it's all your doing. Ulashimcha azamer. When I get this tremendous deliverance, I'm going to give the credit back to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I realize and I recognize it's all you. What a tremendous Kiddush Hashem there was in David HaMelech's time, when it was clear to all that we are Hashem's nation and Hashem takes care of His people. And then Pasuk Nun Aleph 51 has very interesting things to say about it, and it should be a familiar pasuk to us all. It's written Magdil, but it's read Migdol Yeshuais Malkoi Va'ise Chesed Lemshichoi LeDavid Ulezaroi Ad Olam. So here we talk about Migdol as Hashem, you are a tower of victory, of deliverance for me, for your king. And you do chesed to your Mashiach, to the one who you anointed, LeDavid Ulezare, and to his children, Ad Olam, forever. In Tehillim, it's written, Magdil Yeshua Ismalkai. It's a verb. Here in Shmuel, it's a noun. Meaning in Tehillim, we say, Magdil, you continue to bring out, to broaden and to make greater the salvations that you do. Here, we are already seeing it as a Migdal, as the tower, as the fortress. It's already here. On Shabbos and on Yontiv, we say Migdal Yeshua Ismalkai. We already see the salvation because on Shabbos we get a little taste of what it's going to be like in Olam Haba. Therefore, the Mizmar for Yom HaShabbos and Tehillim is Toiv Lahaydeis LaHashem. We see it already. We see the goodness. During the week, we're still in darkness, and therefore we say Magdil. I believe that it's still coming. It's drawn out slowly, bit by bit. There's a very interesting discussion over whether this Migdal, Magdil that we say is really all just a printer's mistake. The Torah Tumimah said that someone who was copying this over, and when they sent it to print, when they saw the words Migdal Yeshuais Malkai, he saw in brackets Shin Beis, which stands for Shmuel Beis, and he just thought that the Tav was left out, and so he turned it into Shabbos, and somewhere way back then, somebody thought that we say Migdal Yeshuais on Shabbos because the source was Shmuel Beis. However, further investigation says that this has already been sourced by the Avudraham, who has lived in the 14th century. He wrote that there's a minhag to say Migdal on Shabbos and Magdil the rest of the week. And if you remember back to Perek Aleph, when we started, there wasn't a Shmuel Beis until the printing press, which is after his time, which means that the Minhag, to say Migdal on Shabbos, comes before there was a printing press, therefore comes before Shmuel Beis was invented by the Christian printer who printed the Tanakh first. And so it can't be that he saw in brackets, it can't be that the reason we say this on Shabbos is because a printer made a mistake. So we refer back to the first thing that I said, which is possibly the reason why we say Migdal on Shabbos. We see a reverse order of David's titles throughout his life in this pasuk, meaning it says Migdal Yeshuais Malkoi. We start with him as a melech, and then as a Mashiach, and then to David. And what David is saying is, he says, the Abarbanel explains, David is saying, you took care of me when I was at the top of the world, the undenied king. But also, when I was just anointed, but not accepted, you took care of me then too. And even when I was just a David, you took care of me. Like you did for me, please do for my children, and for all of Klal Yisrael, ad olam, forever. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui nishmot imaotenu hayikorot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah Shalom, and Sarah Shankar, Allah Shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacies to the next generations.